February 1979.
Why this booklet?
So that Gay Band may do properly his job, it is important that it should be informed more frequently, more rapidly, and more correctly. Rather, but we don't, Gay Band doesn't want to push people, every individual, to report systematically to the police for every strange observation he may make in the sky. Gay Band would like to allow the people to operate a selection on their own observations, and Gay Band would like people to be more able to interpret the natural phenomena, no matter how strange they may be, or the well-known objects which may appear in the sky. So Gay Band hopes that the booklet will help people to report their observations in a useful way. This is now how Gay Band's files are organized. First, there's an official file. It consists of around 1,000 reports, which came through the Ministry of Defense, Police Force, and Army. This file contains many observations of IFOs. It concerns mainly the recent observations. It's been classified and is complete. And presently, the reports are still coming in from the police force at a pace of about 20 per month. Secondly, the private files. Those files have been sent to Gay Band by people who have been involved personally with the UFO phenomenon at a certain time in their life, and also groups of amateurs have transmitted some summary of reports. This file contains approximately 10,000 reports, often pre-selected, which means that the IFOs in many cases have been already discarded. A third file is constituted by the specialized magazine. This will make for 2,000 to 3,000 reports. Another file is specialized literature. Gay Band has all the main books about that have been published on the UFO phenomenon. Those books contain many reports, detailed reports of observation that can be used by the Gay Band. We estimate at 1,000 the non-classic and usable reports in those books. Claude Poher realized in 1971 another file which has been computerized, and it contains roughly 800 observations. It's with this file that some statistical work has been done. See page 12. In 1972, Saunders has transmitted to Claude Poher the French part of his UFO catalog. This is roughly 4,000 reports. That is to say, 1,000 distinct observations. Let it be said that Gepan has no secret file. In fall 1977, Gepan proceeded to the classification of the official reports of observations transmitted to Gepan by the police force and the Air Force. Classification is as follows. It has four types of phenomenon. Type A are phenomena that have been completely identified. IFOs. Type B are phenomena that cannot be completely identified, but which present characteristics which lead to think that the phenomena may very well be a well-known one. Type C are phenomena which cannot be identified because of insufficient data. And finally, type D are the phenomena which cannot be identified in any way through UFOs. Then the phenomena of type D are classified in six different categories following the classification that has been established previously by Dr. Heine: nocturnal light, daylight discs, radar and ground visual, etc., and close encounters, etc. Page 11, the results of the first analysis. It's been found that the majority of the actual observations correspond to a natural phenomena or to a produce of human technology that the witnesses have wrongly interpreted. Those are the UFOs. But we see that a 20 to 25% of the reports still stay unidentified. Those cases are for Gepan the real observation report of UFO. In the green frame, page 11, an analysis of 354 reports for the year 1978 and their classification, which is doesn't need any translation because it's very easy to read or to understand. One will note that 25% were of type D, that is unidentified. Those were 89 cases of the 354, 42% of nocturnal lights, and 4% only of close encounters of the third kind. It's been also found that a quarter of the unidentified were coming from witnesses with high credibility. Page 12 and 13, the objectivity of the observations of UFOs. Gepan wanted to make sure that the observations of type D were really objective observations and were not of another nature, say, for example, hallucinatory. Different methods were used. First, a comparative analysis was made of the different witnesses on one hand reporting observations of type A and witnesses of reporting observations of type D. Secondly, a statistical analysis of reports of type D, UFOs, was made to verify if these respected the optical laws of the visual observation, function of the atmospheric transparency, and of the degree of cloudiness in the sky. And thirdly, an analysis of the statistical coherence between the number of described details and the way that number will decrease function of the distance between the observer and the observed phenomenon. When all those methods give positive results, one is led to admit that the reports of type D were caused or stimulated by objective observations, observations which the experts were incapable of interpreting, even when the reports are detailed, even when the observations were made at a short distance. It would be difficult to admit that the observers could have invented observations in which the laws of the physique were scrupulously respected, laws such as vision, atmospheric transparency, etc. Page 12, the green frame is the statistical study that Claude Poher did privately on 825 reports of type D. Page 13, the first investigations. Because of the lack of time, Guépin could not wait for the 15,000 reports to be filed and classified, and decided to choose two typical cases which Guépin wanted to present to the scientific commission or scientific advisory panel in December 1977. Those two investigations were done in November 1977. The two investigations concern nocturnal lights. The first one, 5th November 1976, Rive, Isère. Three witnesses. Beginning of the night, from the house, two observers see an intense light which goes rapidly across the sky. And a few minutes later, 22 kilometers away from that, an engineer from the Centre d'études nucléaires de Grenoble, Nuclear Studies Center of Grenoble, observes inside his car during 20 seconds a luminous disc which has a very strange movement run in the sky. The second observation analyzed was a case of the 7th March 1974 at Combes-Rouge, Tarn-et-Garonne. Nocturnal light, two witnesses, 25, 26 years old. Very early in the morning, a car driver observed during 2 to 3 minutes close to the road on which he is driving a big object, very luminous, distant of about 300 meters. Then the object rises and takes the shape of a red sphere and disappears in the sky. A few kilometers away from that, another person makes an observation which can be clearly linked to the previous one. In both cases, the objective character of the observations was confirmed, and any tentative to assimilate those observations to a known phenomena or craft didn't succeed. During the meeting of 1977 with the a scientific advisory commission, it was concluded that the constitution of Gaypan was perfectly justified. The members of the commission had gone through all the reports, the dossier established by Gaypan, and on that basis it appeared to the members that it is today impossible to exclude or to acknowledge, to deny or to acknowledge the abnormal character of the reported facts. And apart from that, the members say they cannot make any statement on the scientific interest of those facts. The advisory commission made several suggestions and favored that the Gaypan should pursue his work with increased means. Page 15, 16, and 17 are advice to the eventual observer of a strange phenomena. In particular, page 16 and 17 gives methods by which an observer could roughly estimate the size, the actual size of the object by use of the thumb, the hand, the full hand, or the fist. For example, an observer could hide the object with his thumb, which means then that the object has a apparent dimension of roughly 2 degrees. If the thumb covers exactly the object, this means the object has an apparent diameter of roughly 2 degrees. If two thumbs next one to the other are necessary to hide the object, that means the diameter is 4 degrees. In the same conditions, which mean full length, object could be 10 degrees with a closed fist, or roughly 20 degrees if the hand is open. Another simpler method would be, of course, to compare the object with other objects from the landscape, a house, a car, the moon, etc. One can then say that, for example, the object has an apparent diameter of 3 times the one of the moon. Page 18 and 19, the new structure, the actual structure of Gaypan. The Gaypan has adopted a structure composed of 7 groups. Fast action, sampling the physical traces, a radar alert, expertise, national files, statistic analysis, and simovni. First, the group of fast action, intervention rapide, or maybe fast intervention. All the police force in France has been asked to contact rapidly the direction of the police force in Paris whenever an important case of UFO observation occurs, like a close encounter or a landing with some physical traces. And it is the direction of the police force who will decide if Gaypan should be alerted in Toulouse, where a group of fast action will be immediately formed. That the team constituted will be composed of several investigators coming with different specialties. They will go to the location of the observation, meet all the witnesses. This group, since March 78, has been asked 7 times, but actually got into action only twice, in June and July. Second group, the group in charge of sampling, taking samples from the tracers. This group is alerted in the same way as the first one, the group for fast action. It will take samples from the tracers by various methods, mainly coring the soil. And then the samples will be sent to various laboratories for analysis. It is very important that this group should be able to get into action 24 or 40 hours only after the landing of the object. The group has been asked twice since March 78, but the information came in too late and is moved to the location was therefore useless. The radar alert group will interfere in two cases. First, if it's asked by the group for fast action following a visual observation, or it will interfere if asked directly by the people involved in the air traffic, like pilots, air traffic controllers, etc. The expertise group analyzes the hundreds of reports that are transmitted to Toulouse by the police force, and the group will regularly make the and classify all those reports, and actually presently 100 to 200 reports monthly go through the expertise group. The National File Group is in charge of the codage, supposed to code all the observation reports classified of type D. There are about 30 different criteria which help to characterize each of the observations. The group of statistical analysis is composed of statisticians and mathematicians and professional computer people from the CNES. The group tries to find all the characteristics of the UFO phenomenon and by analyzing all the observations collectively. A seventh group is called the Group Simovny. It's presently working on a tool, on an optical instrument called Simovny, which means simulation, optical simulation of a UFO. That optical instrument is pictured page 20. It consists of a box and several slides showing different shapes of a UFO are used by some sort of optical system. The slides are super impressed on the landscape, then the witness chooses the slide which corresponds the best to the UFO he observed and try to position it in the landscape the way he actually observed it. The witness will be able to modify as he wishes the image, and so will simulate his observation. Observation which can be then sort of measured by the investigators. Gepin thinks that this optical instrument should help very much the investigators in their work, because the words, the language, has proved to be often insufficient to describe an unusual observation. Two opticians and one engineer are in charge of the group Simovny. Page 21. During the first 6 months of 1978, Kepan decided to analyze 10 cases the Gepan chose observations more strange than the ones it had analyzed in 1977, which were simple nocturnal lights. Page 26, the results of those investigations. Two cases were discarded, eight were retained and considered as non-identified. Because of the quality in the different descriptions, because of the internal coherence of the reports made by each witnesses and made by the witnesses amongst themselves, Gepan could see the characteristics of the observed phenomenon with enough precision so as to conclude that the phenomenon was specific and that it was difficult to interpret it by comparison with a known phenomenon. Incidentally, in Gepan's booklet, there's no mention of which cases were studied, but I believe from some other informations that it included some close encounters of the third kind, particularly the French case of Cussac, C-U-S-S-A-C. Page 27, 28, 29 is about the second meeting of the advisory scientific commission, which happened on the 6th and 7th June 1978. The commission suggested that another scientific should become a permanent member of Gepan. The commission estimated that the connections between the police force and Gepan had worked in a satisfactory way. It suggested that a short meteorological questionnaire should be sent to the various police forces in France as to get a better knowledge of the meteorological conditions during the observation. Also, to allow certain deductions, conclusions in terms of thermodynamic relating to the possibility or not of certain rare meteorological phenomena having happened. The commission thought that a chemist should become member of the group in charge of sampling the traces. As for the files and the statistical analysis, the commission did not think worthwhile to reinvestigate other ancient cases, except if there may be some link between an ancient observation and a recent one, which could help and understanding this new observation. New orientations suggested by the commission. The commission thought Gepan should make a complete list of all the rare phenomena observed by various scientific French laboratories and, if possible, foreign laboratories. All the optical manifestations of those phenomena could become the matter of a film, documentary, which could help to sensibilize the investigator. The commission thought it is not the right time to express any preferential hypotheses which could explain, interpret the observations. Describing the work of Gepan. Gepan was created in March 1977 and started operating the 1st May 1977. Presently, Gepan is composed of two permanent persons, the director and his secretary. They're helped by about 20 engineers and 20 technicians and employees from the CNES, C-N-E-S, who on a part-time basis are busy with the various expertise, analysis, establishment of files, etc. Another 40 or so people from the private sector or public participate also to certain activities of GAPAN. For example, people from the CNRS, that is to say, National Center for Scientific Research, the National Meteorology, the Air Force, the National Navy, and the Gendarmerie Nationale, police force, of France, of course. Seven groups, working groups, have been constituted. First, a group for fast intervention or fast action, made of six persons. This group will eventually get where an observation took place on a very short notice. This group was asked seven times since March 1978, but it really got into operation only twice. Secondly, a group in charge of taking samples from physical traces. It's composed of seven members. It's been asked twice, but the information came in too late and the intervention was therefore useless. Thirdly, a raider group composed of four persons and an expertise group composed of about 12 people. Those 12 people from the expertise group will go through the recent dossier, the files, the reports that the police force will forward systematically, in principle, to GAPAN. Between 100 and 200 dossier reports are that way examined monthly. A group composed of 17 persons is in charge of the National File Center. It will work on coding all the non-identified cases. A sixth group, the group in charge of statistic analysis, is composed of seven statisticians, mathematicians, and computer people, professional computer people. Finally, two opticians and one engineer are at the moment working on an optical instrument which is supposed to help reconstructing the observation of the witnesses. This last group is called Simovni, which means optical simulation of a UFO. Now, this is the way the optical instrument should work. Several slides showing different shapes of UFOs are proposed to the observer. He may choose whichever slide corresponds to the object he observed, and then using an optical instrument he can position the shape, the UFO itself, in the landscape as he has seen it during his observation. During the summer of 1977, GAPAN also organized an scientific advisory panel of eight members. Seven of those members are exterior to the CNES. Their specialties are astronomy, plasma physique, atmospheric physique, physique of the atmosphere, physique of high energies, meteorology, geodesy by satellite, and psychology. This advisory panel is supposed to give direction to the work of the GEIPAN by expressing his opinion on the results. Experts from GEIPAN have decided for a new classification of the UFOs. First, there are phenomena of type A. Those are completely identified IFOs, so to say. Secondly, phenomena of type B, for which there are strong indications of a possible identification. Thirdly, phenomena of the type C. Those are observations which are still unexplained, but for which the GEIPAN has insufficient data. And finally, phenomena of type D, which are UFOs to the full extent. Those UFOs type D are then classified accordingly to the classification that has been established by Dr. Hynek: nocturnal lights, close encounters, etc. In 1977, GEIPAN decided to make sure if the observations from Group D, true UFOs, corresponded really to real stimuli or had an hallucinatory origin. The results they achieved led them to admit that the stimuli are real and stay non-identified. In December 1977, the advisory panel had a meeting for the first time in Paris, and the eight members appreciated the first works, gave positive recommendations, which led to an increase in the means that GEIPAN could have. In 1978, the main effort was on the detailed analysis of 10 ancient cases anterior to 1977. Eight of those cases stood up to that heavy analysis, and the studies ended up in the publication of an enormous report, 679 pages in 5 volumes, result of 9,000 hours work involving 82 persons. And the 6th and 7th June 1978, the second meeting of the advisory panel was held in Toulouse this time. The new recommendations of the scientific advisory panel now concerned the functioning of GEIPAN, its orientations, and the circulation of information. One recommendation was to publish a complete listing of all the rare phenomena observed by the French and foreign laboratories. All the optical manifestations of those phenomena will be made made into a film for the sake of the investigators, and this film could eventually end up into a documentary for the public, which should stimulate people to mention their observations to Gepan. Gepan will become a public relation agency. It has prepared a booklet of information describing the methodology that was adopted by Gepan, a few statistical results, and informations which should increase the quality in the reports. Gepan will also be able, if it wishes to, make known to the private groups officially acknowledged the methodology they adopted, and will also receive any advice, suggestions that those groupments might like to give. This last recommendation by the advisory panel led to the meeting of 12 September 1978 in Toulouse. One conclusion of Gepan is that from the several hundreds of reports that were analyzed by the group, half of those were due to a bad interpretation of phenomena or objects easy to identify. But there subsist between 20 and 25% of reports relating to phenomena to the experts from Gepan. No known natural phenomenon, no object engineered by our technology can explain in a satisfactory manner the often disturbing characteristics of those UFOs. But at this stage in the research, it is totally too early to formulate any kind of hypothesis. Gepan's conclusion is as follows. One must have the patience to wait for, without passion, without any hurry, wait for a better knowledge of the phenomenon before making any kind of statement. Very likely, we have there a long-term work. If the study of the phenomenon was easy to do, the results would be known, would have been known for a long time. If we consider the importance that the results may have, this study must be done with all the care and all the patience, all the prudent patience necessary. We wish that the public doesn't try to obtain revelations on this subject in the enormous spectacular literature that has been produced. It is generally quite mediocre and is proposed for often for purposes that are exclusively commercial. Now, a comment by InfoRespace on the meeting and on the work of Gepan. First, an interrogation about Claude Poher's leave. Some people have said that maybe Poher was actually dismissed by the gay ban advisory panel, but that's pure speculation. Apparently, Boyer had been working for 4 years on a book, on a boat, and has just decided to take a year of sailing around the world. One may fear that a certain paralysis threatens gay ban. Lack of financial means, lack of personnel, and a few problems with the administrations. Maybe that's what convinced Claude Boyer to leave Gay Pan. He's been replaced by Mr. Alain Esterly. Alain Esterly is from Polytechnique. His researchers led him to Rice University, Houston, Texas, then University of Washington, where his work was particularly concerned with astronautic and mathematics. He obtained a Master of Science and then entered the CNES in 1973, so as to work in the various projects of satellites, telecommunication satellites, and also of Ariane, the launcher Ariane. Pursuing his studies, he then obtained a doctorate in mathematics appliquée. Member of the Gay Pan ever since the creation of the group, Alain Esterly has been mainly working on the files and methods of investigation and analysis. We have fears about what's going to come out from the Gay Pan. According to Mr. H. Curien, C-U-R-I-E-N, president of the CNES, who doesn't believe, apparently, to the UFOs, the real purpose of Gay Pan would be purely and simply to reassure the populations. One can wonder if Gay Pan is not taking a curve, a turn, an orientation towards a demystification, Condon style. During the September 78 meeting, the different French UFO groups have reacted differently. For example, Jean Sider, S-I-D-E-R, from GEOS, G-E-O-S, has welcomed the meeting with enthusiasm and maybe a little naively appraises without any reserve all the initiatives from Gay Pan. Other people, like Franz Krebeli and Lionel Denis from SVEPS, S-V-E-P-S, are more careful and more realistic. They are happy about this first meeting between an official organism and the private associations. They are worried nonetheless about the purposes of the action and the apparent absence of a real program of scientific research on the UFOs. Other groups are extremely severe towards Poer and the works of Gay Pan. In conclusion, InfoEspace thanks Claude Poer and other scientifics like Pierre Guérin, who have not hesitated to put to risk their scientific career so that a Gay Pan could get born. After a few months of a work apparently efficient and positive, the wind seems to change. We have worries to express about that, because any kind of work tending to weaken the scientific research on the UFO phenomenon must be fought against. Facilitate the scientific research on the UFOs must be fought against. It would be a shame if this was the real fate of Gepan.